Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got through the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Rogan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
And welcome to Friday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. Alongside Jeff Fiegels, I'm Lance Meadow with you for the next 60 minutes. As the Giants have made their first-round pick, the mock drafts are over. We finally have somebody to actually talk about, and that is Eli Apple, the cornerback out of Ohio State, one of five Ohio State players to go in round number one. We'll get to that here in a moment, but we want to remind you, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. You can also chime in via social media using hashtag GiantsChat. And Jeff, I don't know where to begin. It was such a wild first round in the NFL draft yesterday. I mean, Laramie Tunzel, who was projected to go number one at one point, goes
Laramie
to 13.
Laramie Tunzel.
Exactly. Miles Jack, who was expected to be a top five, top ten pick, injury concerns. He doesn't even get selected in round number one. So you had a lot of movement. You had five trades also in addition to the two that already moved the Eagles and the Rams up to the number one and two spots.
Five Ohio State players.
Yeah.
You know, pretty good day for the Buckeyes. And I don't know, I think a lot of the experts, when you reading the articles and hearing them on the radio and TV, I think none of them really were that, like, knew exactly what was going to happen. You know, not saying that they had this crystal ball, but I think that I heard Mel Kiper on the radio this morning, and he was like, he's been doing this forever, and this was the one year that he felt that he didn't have was real comfortable what was going to transpire, and obviously that played out. And you know, just to see what happened with the trades up and the trades down, obviously we know what happened at number 9, 10, and 11 in that little range, what happened with the Bears.
Yeah.
They obviously knew that they wanted Leonard Floyd bad, and they jumped up to get him. That kind of threw a monkey wrench in what I believe was the Giants' plans to get him all along. And then all of a sudden, you know, Conklin came out of the blue the last couple days. I think that was a lot of topic of discussion.
And
good topic of discussion,
correct,
in my mind.
And the Titans moved up to grab him in addition to the Bears grabbing Floyd.
Right. So I think in, you know, with all things said, you spend all this time, all this, you know, going to the combine and reporting on these players and interviews and this and that. And when something like that happens on draft day, you have a 10-minute window. I mean, you've been working on this draft since the end of the season, and now all of a sudden you are there in a 10-minute window and have to try to pick up the phone and move this, and you're calling here. And I think that every team is certainly prepared for that situation, and the Giants are. They know exactly what they wanted, and they went after Eli Apple. And to be honest with you, I think a lot of people were surprised. However, I like the pick. I like the pick. I don't know, you know, I didn't have him on our board here, if you will, but and a lot of people didn't, but obviously the Giants did. I feel like they went after what they feel was the best player available at that time, and certainly a need for this defense still. What they did in free agency made sense to all of us. They went out and got Jenkins, which is going to be the starting other corner. But when you look at the depth of that defensive backfield from what they did last year, this makes sense. And in the way that the fabric of the NFL is today, and with the coverages that they play and the sub packages and the dimes and nickels, the quarters, the half dollars, whatever you want to call it.
Different versions.
You've got to have a third cornerback. And what I like about this is the fact that Jenkins can play inside. And so when you come into that sub package and you want to put Eli Apple on the outside, you drafted him with your number 10 pick, knowing that he can still compete out there and play, not on every down basis, because when you're in a normal package and you got your two corners with Jenkins and DRC, that's fine. But put Eli Apple out there, put Jenkins in that slot, and not only that, he gets to learn from two really good players. DRC getting a little bit along in the tooth. This kid is 20 years old. And so I think there's a tremendous upside to him. Was it a sexy pick that everybody wanted? No. I think Laramie Tunzel was, you know, I just feel like as the night went on, and the commercial breaks and the 10-minute picks, things started to get a little bit hairy for this young man. And it just goes to show you, if anybody is listening or watching this show that is in college or high school, the social media can get you. And it's unfortunately, yeah, he got hacked. He definitely got hacked. But you know what? That was him. That was him. And, you know, that's just it is what it is, but guys have to be careful.
Not
really
having
do.
Control of your social media accounts and so forth. And, you know, clearly it's unfortunate what happened. But, you know, it also goes to show you, Jeff, and you know this from being a former player, off the field is just as important as your production on the field. You
character
have to take everything into
matters.
Consideration.
Character
yeah.
matters. And you know what? There are certain teams where that is a vital ingredient in picking players and bringing them into your organization. There are other teams that really don't care about that kind of stuff. But, you know, this organization, I think, really looks long and hard at off-the-field issues, medical issues, things like that, because you're going to be paying this guy a lot of money. You know, Eli Apple is going to make $15 million if he plays out this contract. That's a lot of money to pay somebody. And you want to make sure that everything is up front and good. And, you know, and to this point, we didn't hear a lot about Laremy, the off-the-field problems. Didn't hear much of it. But then when something like that happens.
Oh, the timing, yeah.
The timing is just horrible. Nothing like we've ever seen anything like that before. And these drafts, it is comical sometimes, but it's not comical for that young man. But just you can just go to show you how things can happen quickly. And, you know, what a production. What a production this NFL draft has become.
Drama filled.
I mean, if I'm a player, I'm nervous about two things. I'm nervous about where I'm going to get picked, and I'm also nervous if I'm going to wear the right outfit. Right? I mean, the red carpet, all that stuff.
Well, did they have that when you were selected, Jeff?
Well, they might have had a carpet, but it wasn't red.
They didn't have the crop tops.
No, well, we had those types of jerseys, though. You know, no. But I mean, it just come on. I love football, and I'm not a huge big fan of the draft, but I did watch it. I like it. We've talked about it. I'm not a fan of all that other stuff because when it comes down to it, I want guys. You know, this is football. This is, and I know I get it, and people are going to be like, Fiegels, you're old school, you're this, you know, you're your old fart, whatever you are. I just, you know, it's hard to watch, and I'm sure that the older generation is the same way, but the younger generation, I get it. It's ratings, it's all this stuff. The younger guys, they liked wearing the stuff that they do. That's all fine and dandy. All I care about is show up on Sunday, play hard, and try to win. That's what I want.
Well, and that's exactly what the Giants are expecting from Eli Apple, the guy that they ultimately took with the 10th overall selection. You alluded to the fact that, you know, in this day and age, when you have three wide receivers out there more often than not, I think the stats are, Jeff, it's about 65% of the time teams are rolling out three wide receivers. So the third corner is essentially a starter now in this day and age. So,
yeah.
I mean, I think that's one thing that Giants fans need to take away, the importance of having a reliable third corner. Second, when you look at the makeup of the roster heading into the draft, remember, Tremaine McBride and Jayron Hosley, who did play out of the slot last season, both free agents. So that really left Trevin Wade as the only guy with experience currently on the roster that did play out of the slot. So you needed some depth. You needed some other options, and I think Apple provides that. You know, you mentioned they could move Jenkins inside. Apple can play inside and outside based on what he did at Ohio State. They don't view him as a safety. Jerry Reese was asked that during yesterday's presser, but having versatility, having options on the back end of the defense can't hurt in this day and age when it's a pass-happy league. And more often than not, you're going to probably go with the extra defensive back, Jeff, versus a linebacker because they're not pounding the football nearly as much.
Nope. And, you know, you look at the program he came from, you know, just like Collins from Alabama last year. I mean, these guys are they're in that conference. That's the training ground for the National Football League, that Southeast Conference, and the Big Ten. These are big time conferences, big time football. So yeah, he's ready, and you know, reading the reports on him and all of the scouting, he's a big kid. He's fast. He runs a 4.4. He's, you know, not afraid that somebody's going to get over the top of you. He's very athletic, and he's got a lot to learn, but he's got a tremendous upside. So I think Giants fans need to just understand why they picked him. And, you know, I feel like there's a lot of drama that goes in. There's a lot of smoke screens that go in on day one. I think day two, the second and the third rounds, and that even that fourth round, those are the fun days because these are the guys where – The scouting department earns their money.
Oh, yeah.
They're picking guys out, and there's probably going to be another surprise in there somewhere down the line, which leads me to ask, and the question is that now that this pick has been put in by the Giants and they have Eli Apple, is where does the next pick come from? That number, that second rounder, is it going to be offense? Is it going to be defense? And when I look at the Giants' needs, I still think that they need another defensive end behind OV and JPP. I mean, you look at the depth that's there. You know, Kerry Wynn, guys like Double O, very unproven guys. And not to say that, obviously, they draft a guy in the second round, he's very unproven, but they need some depth there. I still think that they need to address the offensive line. And the other thing is how about out at wide receiver? So these are kind of, in my mind, the three positions that the Giants are going to need to address quickly, second and third round.
And speaking of that, we'll get into some of the key players to maybe look out for as we move forward here in day number two. We appreciate those of you for tuning in on Twitter. If you want to continue to watch the program, head on over to Giants.com. Lance Meadow, Jeff Fiegels with you here on Friday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live, talking about the Giants' first-round pick, Eli Apple, the corner out of Ohio State. We'll get to your phone calls momentarily here at 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants chat. You can weigh in as well. We are going to look ahead to what Jeff just alluded to in terms of some of the other positions and some of the other key players. Actually, on Giants.com right now, we put together a list of the 32 best available players, so we'll go through some of those names. One other thing, though, Jeff, that I wanted to throw out with respect to Eli Apple, and, you know, a lot of people, the initial reaction, you mentioned it wasn't necessarily a name that was brought up by the media and the various reports. Conklin and Floyd certainly were thrown around, but what was interesting that I noticed about Apple in the days leading up to the draft, he was a name that seemed to slowly inch up on draft boards. You know, I looked at him early on. He was a late first rounder. I saw mock drafts as close to the draft. He was within the top 15. Mm. So he also moved up, I think, little by little. And this was a draft where there was a lot of depth at corner.
Yes.
And I still think
is.
You could find,
there
correct,
still is.
You could still find quality players. But, you know, in the minds of the Giants, we don't know what their draft board looked like. But I think what people need to understand, the difference between what a lot of the experts, so-called, throw out there with respect to the corners is not necessarily the viewpoint of the Giants.
No.
Meaning the Giants believed Eli Apple was the best available corner. Other teams may have looked at Hargraves, who then went a pick later to the Bucks. It's going to vary depending on the needs of a team and what they saw on film. And what was interesting was Jerry Reese was asked during his presser, Hargraves went a pick later. What was the difference? Why Apple over Hargraves? And he said, according to what they saw in film, they viewed Apple as the better player. They respected what Hargraves brought to the table. In their eyes, though, Apple was the all-around better player.
Yeah, and it goes by philosophy, too. I mean, you know, these so-called experts, they're making their picks on information that they get from scouts, most of it, GMs. But, you know, they're not in the war room. They're not actual real football people. And, you know, each team sees different players in a different way. And something like we mentioned earlier, is that some teams value more character in guys and maybe we'll pass on a little bit less ability. But I think that it comes down to the organization, their philosophy. We know that Jerry Reese's philosophy for years has been the best player on their board, not necessarily, you know, Todd McShay's board or Mel Kiper's,
yeah.
But it's their board. And, you know, they have two of them. They have their board that they like, and then they have their other board that these are guys that have, you know, there's other things going on with them. And I'm sure that a Miles Jack and Noah Spence, some guys like that are on that board, which leads us to talk about those two guys a little bit. You know, those guys are still out there, and because of what's happening, you know, off the field, injuries, those kinds of things. I don't think that Noah Spence and Miles Jack are going to be around too much longer because it just depends. And you know what's funny, Lance, is that every medical staff is different. You know,
oh, of course.
Every team views different injuries, you know, differently. They can say, hey, you know what, we're okay with microfracture surgery. We don't want the guy with the bad shoulder or what have you. So all of it comes down to philosophy of the organizations, and that's what impacts the round and the pick and the player and the quality.
Well, you mentioned that there's a number of options that the Giants could go in. I mean, I'm perusing through the list that we have on Giants.com. If they do want to go towards defensive end, you mentioned Spence, Kevin Dodd, Shaq Lawson's teammate at Clemson.
Yeah.
You know, he's still available.
And, you know, a lot of guys had Dodd going before
Correct.
Shaq Lawson.
Exactly, because they felt that he may have been the more overall better player who can also stop the run. So, I mean, there's quality pass rushing. You also have, you mentioned Miles Jack, Reggie Ragland, the linebacker out of Alabama. Yeah, he's still certainly an option, and the Giants are up there. They're number 40th overall, so they're going to be quite early in the second round. If they want to go the route of wide receiver, which you hinted at, Jeff, we could go in the direction of another Ohio State player, and that is Michael Thomas out of the Buckeyes. He's going to be still available. Also, Sterling Shepard out of Oklahoma. So those are two notable wide receivers to look at that perhaps could go here in round two. I think the Giants, if they wanted to bolster the defensive line, there's quality players there. If they wanted to bring in insurance or Victor Cruz, a number two wide receiver, I think there's quality there. And there's also quality at the defensive tackle position, too.
Yeah.
That shouldn't necessarily be overlooked as well in terms of Robinson out of Alabama as well as Reed out of Alabama.
In my opinion, I still think if it was me picking, I would, you know, I think I still would like to lean a little bit more towards offense now that the first round draft pick has been another defensive guy, along with the acquisitions of the defensive guys in free agency. But that offensive line and you know, you offensive linemen, unless you are these Hall of Fame guys like Bruce Matthews and things like, you know, they come around once in a while. You can still find some really good offensive linemen on the second and third rounds, and even into the fourth rounds. And that leads me to this. Is that a lot of these offensive line coaches around the league are very well respected because they're expected to try to find these players for their scouting department because they know them. I mean, offensive linemen and coaches are, they're a different breed now, you know, so they're able to be able to go out and try to find these guys and pick them off in the second and third rounds without having to go and get somebody in the first round. Obviously that the Giants wanted, we thought that they were going to try to get Conklin. So I, in my mind, I feel like that's still in the back of their mind is that we wanted to go offensive of line, didn't have a chance to, we didn't like the other guys. They weren't rated, or they did. We just, they weren't rated as high as Eli Apple, and they went after him. But I still think that offensive line is probably going to be a priority here in the second or third round.
Well, they just brought in Mike Solari, who certainly has a wealth of knowledge and a wealth of experience.
No question, and that's what I mean about
so forth,
about those coaches. They really understand what's going on. You look at, you know, a guy like Pat Flaherty, who's has been very well respected as an offensive line coach. Howard Mudd. I mean, these guys know what they're doing, and they can find these diamonds in the rough.
Well, let's open up the phone lines. I know a lot of people are anxious. They want to delve into the conversation. So without further ado, 201-939-4513. Chris is in Manchester. He gets us going on Friday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. Chris, what's happening?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi, Chris.
How we doing, Chris?
I'm like 50-50 with this pick. And I'll tell you why. It was a need. It wasn't the best player on the board. Okay, and I can live with that. He has to bulk up a little bit, but I can live a little. He doesn't have great ball skills, but you know what? He does block a lot of balls. I can live with the guy. I tell you, let's talk about the NFC East. Okay, number one, Philadelphia with a lot of picks. They got their quarterback, Jerry Jones. Hello, Lance. Merry Christmas. He got his guy in Elliott. Okay. And what's amazing, Washington moves back a pick, and they get their wide receiver.
Yeah, they got Doxon.
And the Giants just sit there at 10, okay, where there are other ball players that are better than Apple. And I'm living with it, but I don't have to be happy with it, okay? And Jerry Reese gets on the air, and he just says, well, that's the way it just goes. You know, let's have a little bit of need. Let's have a little bit of aggression here, okay? The Giants never have many picks. They always have 5 or 6 or 7 picks to do anything. So I think that philosophy needs to change. If he doesn't come through with a second and third round, and I know everything's not determined until 3-4 years around, but this draft is different. There's a lot of very, very good football players in it. In the next 40, 50, 70 picks, there are very, very good, and I hope you're right when you said that Solari and Martin and the rest of the boys know what they're doing here. This is a very important, like Mr. Siegels was saying, there's a lot of quality football players coming up here. Now, With that said, I don't know why we didn't move down in our spot. I'm going to tell you why. Hargraves was a pick for a lot of Giant fans if we didn't get Floyd, et cetera. And yet Tampa Bay moves back and they get their pick. It's amazing how everyone's doing everything but us. Now, with that said, I think we should go. I would have liked Rankins, because Dallas drafted the running back. I would have went with Rankins. Okay? Rankins against Elliott, my God, it would have been a great matchup, in my opinion. It would have been nuts. But on the other side of the coin, you gotta defend these wide receivers, okay, like Dotson coming out of Washington.
Well, and let's not forget, Washington also has DeShaun Jackson, Pierre Garçon,
yeah.
Jordan Reed.
Yeah.
The Cowboys have Dez Bryant. The Eagles have a few young guys. You do need to match up with a wealth of wide receivers in this division.
And you know why I wasn't too in, I'm going to get off in a second because you have a lot of calls. The only reason why I'm 50-50 on them, because I got a board here, my own board. I got 38 quarterbacks here. I got 38 of them on my board. 38. I got about 5 or 6 slot guys here that we can get in the 3rd and 4th round. Okay? Because I looked at 240 tapes. All right? I've been doing this as long as Paul's been doing this. Okay? And I'm a ticket holder since 73, and I got 4 tickets. 4 tickets out there, boys. Okay? So I've been around with Blackburn long before Paul even picked them. So I have a little bit of knowledge of what's going on. I love college football. But here's the deal. We need to get a defensive lineman, an offensive lineman, like maybe in the 3rd or 4th. There's Hawkins out there. There's Murphy out there that can solidify the line. You got a couple of guys going today, like Spriggs. You got a couple of guys. I like Raglin. Okay, wide receivers, Lucien, Braverman. There's a lot of great wide receivers in the 3rd round, 4th round, too. Okay? So, with that said, I just hope the boys do the right thing. I love you guys. Okay? And
thanks,
go
Chris.
Giants.
All right, Chris.
And let's see if we do the right thing tonight. We'll be a better football team tonight, I hope. Thank you, guys.
All right, Chris. Appreciate the phone call. And the Giants are going to be in a position where they can capitalize and add more talent. We just mentioned they're going to have the 40th overall selection coming up in the 2nd round. It starts with number 32. So they're very high up in the 2nd round. There's a number of players at all different types of positions. I mean, he threw out, Jeff, and we were talking about this earlier, the Hargraves-Apple debate. But once again, it goes back to the Giants draft board. They had Apple rated higher than Hargraves. That's why Hargraves fell to the Bucs, because in their mind, Apple was the more well-rounded guy. Plus, Apple's got a little bit more size. If you were to compare the two, Apple's 6'1", Hargraves is 5'10". So they're also thinking long-term. He could be a regular guy on the outside as well. He's also a little bit younger, which you noted, 20 years old. Remember, he was a redshirt his first year, 2013. So he really only had 2 years under his belt at Ohio State, which is, you know, not necessarily a wealth of resume there compared to some other guys.
But I mean, you look at his intangibles and what what these guys see, and they saw enough to know that they liked him better than Hargrove. So I mean, it's fine. To me, coming up this tonight is what I'm not so worried about that number one draft pick. I really not, because I feel like those guys, I think they're going to be fine. They're going to play this next second, third, and fourth round. These are the ones that I want to see, because I don't feel like that we've had as much production from these rounds and in the last 5 or 6 years. I mean, this is where you got to. I want to make some hay here. I want these guys to be able to come in here and contribute. And maybe 2 or 3 years from now, maybe one of these guys turns into a Pro Bowler. But we'll see. You know, and I've been preaching this since the day we've been talking about draft picks. Okay, and I know that this draft has never been very deep in tight ends this year. Okay, I still think that there's a way, if there's a way to get another tight end in this draft. Because obviously they didn't do it in free agency. They have Larry Donnell is healthy.
Correct. He was just given the green light.
But still, you know, anytime you're dealing with a neck injury, anything can happen. I just feel like I wanted offensive lineman and I wanted a tight end. So that's my wish card that I mailed to Jerry. And right now he's not answering any of it for me. But
he
that's
went
okay.
in a different direction.
That's okay.
I'm Jeff Fiegel's
and the direction he went into,
yes.
I like the pick. I really do. I just would love to see, there is a tight end from Arkansas in here.
Correct. Hunter Henry. And then you also could go Ohio State, Nick Vinette.
There you go.
So there, those are the top two guys. No tight ends went in the first round, which is not necessarily a surprise. These two are ranked more second, and then Vinette's like a third, fourth round guy.
Fine.
He's considered.
I mean, I would be okay even with the tight end in the third round. I mean, I just somebody that I know that can come in here and I just feel like Eli Manning likes to have that go-to guy, you know. So, but yeah, let's take another call.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's continue the conversation. We got Greg in New Jersey. Greg, what's happening?
Hey, Jeff. Hey, Lance. How you guys doing?
Doing well, Greg. How's
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Look, Jeff, I just heard your point about drafting tight end and tackle. Well, I do understand the need for that. Part of the problem is, and the only reason why I'm willing to give Jerry a pass with this pick is that it's defense.
No question.
And this is the worst rated defense in the league last year and everything else. I went to the Ohio State, so I like Apple. That's just me personally. But from a season ticket holder perspective, from somebody who's been watching the Giants my entire life, the one problem I've had with Jerry Reese over the years is, especially the last four, a lot of his picks have had massive flaws to the point where I don't think he knows how to manage a draft. And this isn't just Apple over Hargreaves. And believe it or not, if you tell me Apple's a better player, I'll believe it. I'll accept that opinion. But at that point in time, Hargreaves is a better, a more lucrative option for the rest of the board. So if you don't have the entire issue, if you don't have your top two picks, and yes, Conklin and Floyd were the top two options on the board, and I think it's pretty obvious given the trades ahead. When you miss out on those two, the problem becomes, what do you have to do to trade back? And you have had months to prepare for this. The Jets wanted to move up to get Tunsil. That was a report today. So at that point, you know there's a market for that pick. If you know that you've lost out on those two, why are you not trying to trade back?
Well, what I heard, there was a call, but there was one call, but that was it. There wasn't getting much.
Well,
so.
Jerry did mention Greg.
Even then, part of the problem is you have so many needs on this team. There's so many needs.
There's not enough draft
picks. How are you not looking into that earlier?
Well, Jerry Reese mentioned, Greg, and I was going to just piggyback off of what Jeff mentioned. He said that there was some dialogue about moving up. They felt that the price was too high,
correct.
So they determined that they didn't want to do that. He didn't necessarily go into great detail in terms of whether there were many options out there to move down, but I know what Jerry Reese and Mark Ross did say is they felt good at 10 staying there, that they were going to get somebody on their board who they thought very high on. And that's one of the ultimate reasons why they determined it wasn't worth moving down, because then there's no guarantee they're going to get the guy that they have high on their board. And that's what it really comes down to. It comes down to who they had high on their board, regardless of what the other mock draft showcased. We don't know how the Giants valued all these players, but according to what Jerry Reese had mentioned, Eli Apple was very high on their board. They felt they didn't want to risk moving down to miss out on him.
Oh, sure. I don't doubt that Jerry said that. I also hear Mark Ross say the line, that draft were played out exactly as we thought it would in front of us, which I think is just hysterical. That's the one thing that's going to bother me, and I'm sorry for interrupting earlier, but I've heard the line, best player available, for the last 8 years. I am so sick of that line, and you can't tell me that this was a best player available move. This was him panicking. This isn't the first time this has happened. This happened with David Wilson and Doug Martin at the back end of the 2012 draft. This happened in 2013. I at least understood the Pew pick, even though he was the eighth offensive tackle taken in the first 20 picks. You then get into, in 2014, you have last year, Scherf gets taken off the board. He makes the pick immediately. Part of the problem is when you are drafting in the top 12, the last 3 years, there's something wrong with this team. There's something wrong with the process. There's something wrong with the way that we approach the draft. and you have a GM who doesn't trade down ever. I mean, ever. In the last 10 years, he has never traded down once. And he's traded up twice. So you have a general manager who is either, he's clearly secure in his job or something, because that's what you do if you're content with keeping the picks. And it's absolutely infuriating because Jerry got to stay despite him making all the mistakes, despite him being one of the worst GMs the last 5 years. And that's proof, because in rounds 3 to 7, you saw the statistics there, I'm certain, where they show he's, what, 28th in getting quality starters from the last 5 rounds. The problem is when you are consistently drafting in the top 10, top 12, you are clearly not a good football team. And when Tom Coughlin gets the boot for keeping close game, for keeping games close with the players that Jerry drafts, that's when it becomes a problem.
Well, and the record has showcased that. I mean, that's a big reason why they haven't gone to the playoffs. And, Greg, appreciate the phone call. I mean, there's no debate. The reason why the Giants have had selections in that top 12 barometer is because they haven't been getting to the postseason. So, I mean, those two things are synonymous with one another. That's not necessarily a surprise. Jeff, you mentioned the importance of capitalizing on mid to late round picks. Is, I'm not saying it dismisses what you do in the first round, but that's where you can really alleviate stress on your salary cap, and you can start to build around a young cluster of guys and build depth. And that's the key heading into a draft like this.
There's no question. And depth to me is what it's all about. And this team last year and the year before didn't have that depth. And where does that depth come from? It comes from building within the draft in these rounds that we're talking about. So this is a crucial and vital point in time for this, for the Giants to come up with the next second, third, fourth rounders. Try to maybe, hey, there's teams that have gone out and got those fifth rounders, Tom Brady, you know, guys like that, that you never know where they're going to be, but you don't know until they get on the field. And this team has got a depth problem. They're going to have to fix it by some of these draft picks. Some of the guys that are on the roster now need to play better. I get the frustration because, you know what, we're not making stuff up here. We understand the statistics in the drafting and the players. It's what things have been happening. It isn't like we're getting on Jerry Reese, and it is what it is. And I'm sure that they're all looking themselves in the mirror and say, we've got to do better. It would be a lot easier if everybody had the Giants draft board.
Of course, because then you know,
then
you
know what
where
thinking.
They rank players. And That's why, you know, and I think you bring up a good point, Jeff, and it's what also I've been emphasizing. You know, fans are looking at mock drafts and where players are projected to go, and then they're saying, well, wait a minute, this guy is a little bit too high. He could have fallen. We don't know. I mean, the Giants draft board could have been so different than a lot of these mock drafts. So you can only go based on, you know, what the Giants front office has said, and they've said they valued Eli Apple. And I just looked at the list. 5 corners, Jeff, went in round number one.
Okay.
5 corners. So Hargraves goes right after Eli Apple. Jalen Ramsey, I'm considering a corner, even though to me, I think he could play safety too.
That's okay.
So he's one of the 5. Ramsey was already off the board. Hargraves, Apple, and then a little bit later on in round number one, you had another run on cornerbacks where you had William Jackson III went to the Bengals, and then Artie Burns went to the Steelers at 25. Now, speaking of...
You didn't tell him where he's from.
Who?
Burns.
In terms of the school?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. He went to Miami. I mean, the fact that I overlooked
Don't mention guys' names without knowing where they went to school.
I was going to actually maybe irritate you even more. My point was there's some that say Burns went a little too high, that nobody ever expected him to go 25th overall. He may have been a second rounder or so forth.
Sure.
So, you know, on the Steelers board, though, Jeff, they may have had Burns as one of their highest rated players.
We said it before. They see something in him that other teams and mock guys don't. Okay. You know, you can't, these mock drafts, these are people making just decisions on based on things that they know.
That they hear and so forth.
And it's we can sit here and argue the point as long, I mean, until the show is over. But the fact is that the Giants take credence in what they have done up to this point. They put their board together and they live and die by it. Okay. And that's what we're going to have to, as fans, to realize. We just hope that there's a difference maker in this draft coming up, 2, 3, or 4 guys that can make an impact on this 6-10 team that was here last year to compete in the division, which is going to be competitive this year. And the fact that this Giants team has a new head coach, okay, and things are looking in the right direction, and it started off with last night with the decision to draft a guy where many people feel like he was a late first rounder. And you know what? I think that they're comfortable with it. There's a lot of people that are going to say that Jerry Reese fumbles at the when things are happening quickly, and maybe he does. But the fact is that they're going to tell you that this is the guy they wanted. This is the guy that they got. They wanted the two guys we're talking about, Conklin and Floyd, but you know there wasn't a good enough offer to trade up, and something told them that we'd better get our guy now, Eli Apple, because if we trade down, maybe the guys that are just above us are going to grab him too. So,
well, and this goes back to your point about the importance of mid to late round picks, Jeff. If you look at what the Bears gave up to move from 11th to 9th, they sacrificed a fourth round selection.
Okay. So that is a fairly significant draft pick. I mean, if it was a seventh rounder, I would be not impressed, but a fourth rounder is, you know, that's the fourth round and fifth, sixth and seventh are your basically glorified pretty good draft free agents. You know what I'm saying? Like street free agent guys. You know, because the propensity for the sixth and seventh rounders to make the team, some teams like the Giants value their draft picks. They hold them around a little bit. Some other teams don't care, but they want the first through four guys. Those are the guys they're going to try. Look at Cleveland. What are they doing right now? They are building for the future. They might have two full drafts next year,
which is wise considering how many needs they have. They've got a number of needs across the board.
Question.
So, I mean, I think for the sake of comparison, and we can throw this out to the audience, but remember, the conversation is, you know, unfinished, unwritten at this point, because the Giants are going to get somebody in the fourth round, we're assuming, unless they make a trade. So you're going to have the combination of your fourth round pick, Jeff, and Eli Apple this year, versus your other option would be, for those of you who felt that they should have moved up, we eliminate the fourth round now. You get rid of your fourth round pick.
So look at what they gave up, right?
Okay, you grab, rounder. Let's say, Leonard Floyd, hypothetically.
Okay.
Let's go with that. So you grab Leonard Floyd, no Eli Apple, no fourth round pick. So remember, you don't have a seventh round pick this year, too, because
right.
of the trade for your punter. So, you know, now your options are limited. I think those are the types of things you have to weigh. Now, once again, we don't know who the remainder of the picks are. These guys haven't been on the field yet, too, so it's also hard to evaluate some of this talent. But, you know, power in numbers is important, too, because of the sake of depth.
And you could easily go, if you did that, you now go from six draft picks to just four. So, I mean, in a team with lots of needs, you'd like to have a couple of those extra draft picks this year. You wish you had one more at the seventh rounder. And maybe through the process, the Giants move back in another round to get another pick somewhere and try to get, you know, who knows. But, you know, to go from six to four picks by just moving up a couple ones, I mean, I don't know. It's a tough decision.
That's a significant jump, and you're putting a lot more pressure on that first-round pick, Jeff, to be an immediate impactful player because you're not bringing in nearly as many in your rookie class.
And
so it does change the dynamics attack.
And I think that, you know, there was a lot of talk about Leonard Floyd and, you know, the fact that he was only weighing about 220 pounds right now. You know, so there's things that all go into it. There's all kinds of people that talk about things, and I just feel like, you know, it's a tough thing to sit there and talk about this around and round and round. We can sit there and go over and over and over. And to me, it's more important to talk about, okay, that's done. They did it. It's over. Now let's move on to the next ones, okay? And then after it's finished, we look at it and say, okay, guys, this is it. This is, you know, our team is now being put together. There's going to be a bunch of street free agents that are signed. Most of them will not make this team. There's going to be a couple more free agents that are going to get signed, like June 1st cuts, things like that. But other than that, we're moving in the direction now that this team is starting to shape up. I'm excited to see what happens in these next four picks.
Big Blue Kickoff Live brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy sports. Pick your contest, pick your players. If you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. All right, let's head back to the phone lines. He's Jeff Fiegels. I'm Lance Meadow. Thanks so much for joining us here on Friday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live, recapping the first-round pick for the Giants, Eli Apple, the corner out of Ohio State. James is in Denver. James, what's happening? James, you there?
Good morning to me. I'm in the Mile High City, so good afternoon to you.
Well, good morning to you, as you mentioned. So what's happening, James?
I didn't mean to. I don't want to beat a dead horse because I didn't catch the whole good conversation that you've had so far. So I wanted to make sure to realize I don't want to beat a dead horse about the draft or anything like that. I know we kind of missed out with the incident with Laramie Tunsil that maybe we could have even gotten Conklin or Bruckner, but I guess we'll never know about that either. I don't know how you felt about that, because we were so close to getting one or two of those impacted players that we had talked about previously. Also, I wanted to bring up the point about the second round. I really was thinking someone like, you were talking about different quarterbacks that were available. I was really looking at Mackenzie Alexander because, and that's just me, I thought maybe he should have been rated high, a little bit higher. Maybe
he was, actually.
Didn't think so, but
he was. He was a number behind.
Some projections had him number one overall at the corner spot. Yeah.
Okay, so it was my imagination. I was kind of wondering why he didn't go in the first round. I thought, well, maybe there was some issue with him or something. But, and nothing against Eli Apple. I'm going to say, you know, we're going to live and die with, you know, who we have, and that's who we picked, and that's well and good. I just thought personally, from seeing a little bit of the combines and different things from different analysts and everything, I just thought that Mackenzie would be a little bit better. But now that we fulfilled Eli Apple in that role, I guess we're going to go away from the cornerbacks. Do you feel like, do you see us taking someone else on defense, like Kevin Dodd maybe, or maybe one of the Alabama guys who are still left over, like A'shaun Robinson? Or do we need to go to offense because we need someone to complement Odell Beckham on the other side?
Well, my opinion is they need another pass rusher. So I feel like if Kevin Dodd is there, you take him.
Right.
I'm afraid he's not going to be. That's just my opinion. I don't, you know, a linebacker, Reggie Ragland, I don't know if I like him and the Giants. You know, that would make him really, he's a two-down player. And to me, I would like to get another defensive end because there is not a lot of depth behind Olivia Vernon and JPP right now. So he would be a good one. I'm not even going to, Lance, you know how I put your names, okay?
So you're going to
avoid
that. But
why don't you announce number four for me? I know his first name is Emmanuel, but
yes.
The last name, that he's a defensive end from Oklahoma State. He could be a guy that the Giants could be targeting too.
You talk about Ogba,
Ogba.
Yes, from
Emmanuel Ogba.
Yes, from Oklahoma State. Yes.
Yep.
He's certainly an option. I mean, I would agree with Jeff. I think defensive lineman is certainly a direction they can go in. And then if I were to pick one on offense, I think there's some quality wide receivers out there that it may not be a reach to say, hey, 40th overall, you think you get a playmaker, perhaps that would be the direction to go. Those are the two spots, I think, to answer your question. I could see perhaps the Giants going here in round two.
So it wouldn't be a reach then for Michael Thomas because I guess he's now like later in the second round. That wouldn't be a reach for someone like him then.
I don't think that would be a reach at all. And, you know, once again, they went to the Ohio State pile before in round one. So clearly I'm sure they understand that that's a program that has produced a lot of quality playmakers. I don't think it'd be a reach to grab Thomas.
Well, I do want to keep you, gentlemen. I know you got a lot of other callers and everything. I just want to thank the opportunity to be able to speak
with you
all as a lifetime Giants fan, and I want to thank you very much. Enjoy your show. First-time caller. Bless you, and take care, guys.
All right, thanks so much for weighing in, James. Appreciate the phone call. You know, another player I'll throw out, Andrew Billings, who's a nose tackle. He's also still available. That's a name to certainly watch out for as well. If he's still on the board, who knows? I mean, maybe he can even fall into the third round. I've seen projections second/third round, but he's the defensive tackle out of Baylor.
I'm going for a speed rusher. I'm going for a speed rusher. And if that's not the case, if you have a wide receiver that you feel, and again, now I'm talking about your board.
Yeah.
That's there, you grab him. Okay, because I there's just so much uncertainty about Victor Cruz. I mean, I know he's healthy, but you know, I just feel like the depth again behind OBJ, behind Dwayne Harris, behind Victor Cruz. You know, there isn't much there that's proven. Okay, I'm not saying that any of them can't play. I'm just saying as far as being proven, it would make sense to me that you go after someone like Michael Thomas from Ohio State. So. Offensive line, I still think that you can find that offensive line in that third and fourth round that can come in and compete with John Jerry and Newhouse. And you know, you never know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it depends really if there's a run on offensive linemen. After the first three, notice how the trend became guards, Jeff,
yeah.
That people were going after, not so much tackles.
Did you hear that the Dolphins are going to play Tunsil at guard?
I did hear that, yeah.
So. That's even, well,
I guess
even more weird.
The old philosophy is try to get the top five guys on the field at once what they're trying to say. I mean, they do have some tackles in the mix already. Keep that in mind. So I guess they're thinking to themselves, we just got to maximize the five best players on the field.
And this just goes to show you the combine, right? Okay, so coming out of the combine, who's number one offensive lineman? Is Tunzel, okay? I mean, he was by far the best guy there. But, you know, I know what the smoke mask or whatever the hell it was had something to do with it. But the fact is that, you know, I think the combine is – It's. I think the pro days, in my opinion, are way more better than the combine.
Or also what they do during the regular season.
The combine, in my opinion, is they get everybody together. It's for two reasons, two important reasons. Number one, you go to the medical staff. We're going to check you out. And number two, give me my 15 minutes with you. Other than that,
interviews.
Nobody wants to run. No one wants to throw. No one wants to kick. I got to go to the bathroom 3 hours before I throw. I mean, come on, right?
I agree with you. I think those are the two aspects that are the most important takeaways from the combine. Because remember, they're not in pads.
No,
they're in shirts and shorts.
And I think pro day they get a little bit. They're more comfortable with where they're at. You get a better gauge. Some guys do better. Some guys do don't. But I think that it just makes more sense to me to work the guys out in a controlled atmosphere at their school to get a little bit more out of it.
Let's head back to the phone lines. We got Vic in Florida. Vic, what's happening?
Hey, Vic.
Good afternoon, Lance and Mr. Fiegel.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
I'm a very unhappy camper today.
What else is
okay?
New?
Let me just play a little reverse psychology. Let's make believe I'm the host and you guys are the callers.
Okay.
Are you two guys truly happy with the pick that the Giants made? Yes or no?
I'm actually okay with it. I'm not happy with it, but I am okay with it. I feel like it was a need pick more than a ability pick, if you will.
Okay. They could have got Hargrave, or they could have traded up for Floyd.
All right, well, Hargrave is a corner, so we're in the same ballpark. They're one pick apart.
And we don't really know the true differential between Hargraves and Apple, let's be honest, Vic, until we see these guys in the NFL. I mean, right now it's based on pure projections and, you know, the college film that everybody looked at. But, you know, until they really get on the NFL field, it's hard to say the difference between Hargraves and Apples are miles and miles apart. Your point about Floyd, Jeff and I just went over the hypothetical, Vic. If I was to tell you, okay, it's going to cost you a fourth rounder, which is what it costs the Bears to move up, you're taking your fourth rounder off the board. You're taking Eli Apple off the board. Now it's Floyd, and then you only have now a total of four picks for the entire draft. Those are things you have to weigh
that.
At least.
I understand that. But let me finish with this, okay? And you guys can cut me off if you want, but I'm going to tell it like it is. I've been a Giants fan for over 50 years, and I think as long as General Manager Reese runs the club, we will never win anything. I'm sorry, guys. I love your show, and I love you guys. Have a good day and a good weekend.
All right, Vic. Appreciate the phone call.
I know I was on one team that he ran. They
won
a world championship, and I believe he was the general manager in 2011 where they won the world championship too. So that's false. But, Vic, like many callers today and many fans, you have your opinion, and you're entitled to it. And more importantly, we thank you for calling Big Blue Kickoff Live on this day after the first draft.
Absolutely. But I think you got to put things in perspective in terms of the history, the recent history of the franchise. And the last time I checked, there have been some pieces of hardware that have been brought into the mix in recent history. And, you know, let's not forget, you know, when you look at the movement to the front office and so forth, you know, Jerry Reese was a part of the scouting department, you know, way before he took over as general manager. He's been involved in even previous regimes and previous teams too, Jeff. It's not as if you just look at what he's brought to the table as a general manager.
Jerry Reese doesn't sit in his office every single day and think that he's the best in the world at what he's doing all the time, everything. He knows that he has some work to do. He said it in his pressers before. You know, hold me accountable. Hold me this, okay? The organization works together. The coaches, the front office staff, the scouting department, they feel like the guys that they get are the guys that they should be able to play for them. That has not panned out, and they understand that. They're trying to do the best job they can. If for some reason, if it's not Jerry Reese or any other GM for that matter, if they don't do their job, they get fired just like anybody else. So, and you really, when you look at it, coach or Mr. Mara has come out and said this is an important year. Okay, they got rid of Tom Coughlin. Now, Jerry Reese, it's up to you to fix it, okay? And this is what he's doing, and he started out with the first pick, a need pick that I like the pick. I really do. Would I have picked him? No. But I'm not – listen, I work on Fridays on BBK, and you see me on Big Blue Kickoff and then on our pre- and post-game. That's it, okay? That's all that the Giants are ever going to ask of me. They're never going to have me in their war room. They're never going to do any of that stuff. So, you know, that's the direction that they're going in, and it's something we all have to understand. And, you know, hopefully us Giants fans feel that if these picks work, then he's a genius, you know? If not, then it doesn't work out, and well, move on.
Well, and here's the other thing. If everybody's looking at it from the perspective of, you know, it's a more need selection, Jeff, as
yeah,
a lot of people have weighed in, as opposed to, you know, maybe maximizing the true value. But who knows how we maximize value until we see these guys on the NFL field, first of all. But, you know, let's go with the mindset that it was a need thing. At the end of the day, Jeff, this is a team that gave up more passing yards per game than any other NFL team in 2015.
And at times you're watching and going, who is covering anybody? Right?
And there was some miscommunications and breakdown specifically out of that slot position. So when it's all said and done, if they now just went out and addressed an area of need, and you were to tell me that heading into the 2016 season, you have Janoris Jenkins, you have DRC Jeff, and you have a young prospect in Eli Apple who can move inside and outside, I'd say you're in a good position to make sure that you're not 32nd in terms of passing yards allowed per game.
And you just added a all-world defensive end that can pressure the quarterback, okay? You got a new defensive lineman that snacks, who is, you know, one of the best guys, best defensive tackles in the league. You got JPP coming off another year. You know, you're slowly putting the pieces back together. We weren't talking so much about the offense last year. All we were doing was talking about how do we get better on defense. And now they're out there drafting guys on defense, and people are complaining about it.
That was the area where they needed to bolster the team. And all around, it's not just the front. It's also the back end. And clearly between free agency and the draft thus far, remember the draft, there's a lot of days to go here, they've certainly addressed the area that I think was the most pressing coming into this offseason.
I understand what fans are going through. And, you know, when you look at a guy, I'm not going to pick on the guy, but I'm just going to give as an example. You look at a Jerron Hosley, okay, a third-round draft pick, okay, a guy that this is one of the rounds that we talk about where you want to have a guy come in, okay? He didn't work out for the Giants, okay? That's why these picks are so – and look at – he was starting for the Giants at one point in time, okay? So just understand that some of these guys don't work out, but that is up to the GM, and I know I understand what everybody's trying to say, but they're putting their confidence in this Eli Apple. He's got to come in here and make an impression because that's what first-rounders do. I told you already, I would have loved to see an offensive tackle there, but it didn't happen. We'll see if they get one here in the next couple of days.
Well, and the other thing to also keep in mind, if you as a front office love a player, Jeff,
go get him.
Get him. Who cares what the projections say?
Now, I know what they're going to say. I just go get him. And the next caller is going to say, Jeff, you said go get him. Then why didn't you trade up? I could see it coming. I can see it coming.
Well, I guess I'm saying under the assumption you're content with your spot, okay? You're in the 10th spot, Jeff. Then, this is the guy you love. Instead of projecting if we move down to 15, if we move down to 16, is there a chance? You have him. You're up. You're on the clock. Go out and get him.
You're not taking a Twitter poll in that 10 minutes of the pick, which
I would hope
we should get.
Yeah, indeed. Let's head back to the phone lines. And speaking of Twitter, we will get to a few tweets before we wrap up. Will is in Louisiana. Will, what's happening?
Hi, Will.
Morning. Gentlemen, fellas, morning. I'm in Louisiana, long-time Giants fan, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Well, thanks so much for weighing in.
You stole a little of my thunder there with the Hosley thing. I'm going to make 2 points, and I'm going to get off. My first point is I can understand the Eli Apple pick because, one, you know, we're going against tall slot receivers, and we need someone in there that's physical. And he's raw. He's a young kid, so he can be molded into what we need. Trust me, I'd rather have him than Jerron Hosley. I'd rather have me than Jerron Hosley out there. And on the back end, I'm gonna go back to my man Charlie. The reason they passed up on Tunzel is Will Hill. Why would you spend a first round pick? Granted, everybody makes mistakes, but like Will Hill and Josh Gordon, you're gonna be losing out because if he gets tested and he tests positive, he's going to be suspended 4 games here, 6 games here, a year here. So you're actually losing a pick by having a guy that's going to be suspended for the drug abuse policy. So I can understand that. And, you know, I'm just hoping that with this second-round pick, we take a chance. I mean, it's not as great of a chance that taking him in the first round, but, man, Miles Jack is still sitting on the board, fellas. Second-round pick, number 9, I take your answers off the air.
I will. Appreciate the phone call. Two things I wanted to throw out, and we will get to the Miles Jack. I would also throw Hosley out there, too, regarding the substance abuse. Remember, he was suspended 4 games as well. Mm-hmm. So the Giants have multiple examples. I think it was a great point that the caller brought up. You have to consider your past history and whether or not you want to take the risk and revisit that at the 10th overall pick. You know, while it may be a quality player, you do need to weigh that risk reward. And do you want to take a risk in a 10th spot overall?
Quality player, but if he's not on the field, he does no quality for you.
It removes the quality.
And this organization, I know, I worked for him for 7 years and still do, and I'm telling you right now that their character issues are they're very heavily weighted, okay? And I know that you're saying, well, what about happened to Will Hill and what happened to those other guys? You know, I mean, you can't babysit these guys forever, but coming into the draft – you know, I think that they've finally realized that, you know what, we're not willing to do this. We have a new head coach. We're a 6-10 team last year. We only have 5-6 draft picks this year. We got to do the best job we can. We're not going to take a flyer on some of these guys. And as Tunzel dropped, they take note. There's other teams that are thinking the same way they are. Okay? And I feel like if, you know, I believe if Conklin was there, they were taking him. I believe if Stanley was there, which nobody thought he would be, they were taking him. But I just think that they decided to go against Tunzel, and, you know, that's just the way that – that's their thinking. It's their prerogative. They can do whatever they want.
Absolutely.
By the way, it's their team.
If they don't want to take the risk, they don't want to take the risk. And you mentioned, Jeff, you know, it was 12 teams that passed on him. It wasn't just the New York Giants. So, yeah. You know, I think that says a lot about the viewpoint of some of those other teams. The other point that the caller brought up was Miles Jack here. If he's still on the board 40th overall, Jeff, I really think it comes down to how the Giants view his medicals.
And you're right. And I think that, you know, his injury is one where, you know, microfracture surgery, you know, guys like Kiwanuka had it. They came back and played fine. Some guys, you know, it's just all about how they respond. But it's the severity of the injury. You know, they talk about nerve damage in his knee. And, you know, sometimes you start working with nerves, you know, that gets a little bit dicey. So the money's another thing. You know, so he's not going to stay on the board long because by the time you get down into the 3rd, 4th round, you know, you can take a flyer on a guy like that because it's not going to cost you a lot of money. A first rounder at the 10th position, if Miles Jack was there, it's $15 million, $9 guaranteed. And, you know, that's a significant amount of money to give somebody that has some health problems that you're not 100% sure can ever come back from another surgery.
I think at 40th overall, Miles Jack would be good value. However, with that being said, where do you draw the line on value, Jeff, if your medicals don't believe that he's going to have the durability to hold up? So I think that takes away from the value then.
And the value to me is in your draft picks when you only have 6. Okay, there might be a team, for instance, like Cleveland, who has stockpiling all these picks that says, you know what, we're willing to take a chance on this guy, but I'm not going to, you know, what happens next year, all of a sudden he doesn't play anymore. In 2016, I took a flyer on him and I wasted a second round draft pick on him, not to mention the money I gave him. So, and I feel sorry for the young man. They kept showing him on TV last night, and, you know, I hate to see that, and it's unfortunate the game that all of his play is, there's injuries are part of it, and it's just sad. But we hope that young man finds a home and can rehab his knee. And because, you know, from all we hear, the guy is just absolutely a freak. And, you know, somebody's going to get a good football player if he's healthy, but we'll see.
Well, and 00, speaking of that, spoke to the media earlier this week, and he's another UCLA guy, and
sure,
said Jack was a freshman when he was there, and he spoke very highly of Jack. Which, listen, it's understandable when you're in practice with the guy, but 00 is not necessarily looking at the medicals, and he doesn't know the latest details
on the knee. He's looking at his own medical.
Correct, exactly.
Trying to get back. You know?
Well said. Let's close out the program here with some tweets, and certainly appreciate all the phone calls for those of you who chimed in. Matt at Meisty Mac. How would you feel about the Giants going with Derrick Henry in round 2 tonight, the running back out of Alabama?
Not in round 2. I don't think that that's, you know, he is You know, he's a big running back. He's a two-down back. I don't like the pick. I mean, maybe later in the rounds, but not at number two, no.
Five running backs on the roster right now, Jeff. I don't think it's a huge need, no matter what round you want to sell.
And everyone else, everybody looks at us as the Eagles have all the quarterbacks, we have all the running backs.
You can look at it like that if that's the breakdown and so forth. Somebody brought up, I had the tweet up here, a point about that Eli Apple gives them a little bit more flexibility with his size.
Yeah.
At 6'1", in terms of, you know, having confidence we can move him outside if he's going up against. Remember, there are some tall wide receivers that operate out of the slot, Jeff. It's not just those little shifty guys like maybe a Victor Cruz.
No.
There are other teams within the division. They're going to put perhaps
sure.
a 6'1 or a 6'2 wide receiver out of the slot.
And this division has always had tall receivers and tall defensive backs. So it just continues. I mean, DRC's a tall dude. You know, Prince wasn't that tall, but he was 6 foot. But you know, you look at Hargrave, he was 5'11", you know, and you got a 6'1 guy here in Eli. So the other Eli is taller than 6'1".
I think that's a fair assumption. A.J. Marshall at A.J. Marshall 3, going back into the archives here. Last time the Giants drafted a corner in the first round was back in 07 and 11, and I think we all know what happened in those 2 years.
If you are
a fan of history.
Exactly.
Yes, with respect to Prince Amukamara being the most recent in 2011. Let's take a quick glance here at maybe another tweet or two before
we
wrap up.
Who was 07? Was it Ross? Aaron Ross?
Yes, Aaron Ross.
Aaron Ross,
correct.
2007, yep.
Both of those.
I remember that year.
You do?
We had 10 rookies on that team that year.
You were considered the veteran out of that crew.
Is
that a safe assumption, Jeff?
It's very safe.
Let's take a look at some of the people throwing out some second-rounders here. Drew Drummond at Not Sid. Round two, I'm looking at Agba, Bell, Dodd. Okay, we threw him out. Wide receiver as well, he's saying, in general. Wouldn't complain about Jack, too.
Okay.
Number of people throwing out Jack in terms of value, at least, at 40th overall. Who knows? I mean, somebody may scoop him up, too, with the first pick in the second round because they may also think that there's a good value there, too. So we'll continue to look at your tweets off the air, and we'll respond that way. But certainly appreciate everybody for chiming in via the phones as well as Twitter. Few programming reminders. Number one, tonight you got Big Blue Draft Night Live. That starts at 7 p.m. Eastern. They will monitor all the selections leading up to the Giants' take in the second round as well as the third round. And then there's going to be a special Big Blue Kickoff Live edition tomorrow, Saturday, starting at noon Eastern as the draft winds down as well. So we will have you covered here on Giants.com. You can stay locked to the website for all the latest in terms of press conferences from GM Jerry Rice and company, Jerry Reese, excuse me, as well as a slip of the tongue there, as well as reaction from the players who the Giants ultimately take. So a lot to look forward to in the next few hours. For Jeff Fiegels, I'm Lance Meadow. Enjoy the rest of your Friday right here on Giants.com.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35-30.
Intercepted!
Touchdown, Giants!